This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we'll talk about teens and sleep, or really lack thereof. But first up, a new study testing the effectiveness of a vaccine against the bird flu had mixed results. Published in this week's issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, the study found that it took two doses of an experimental vaccine at the very highest levels to produce a satisfactory immune response in just over half the people tested. NIH disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci called these results, quote, muted good news and said we have a long way to go. And here's a case in point. It is this vaccine that the U.S. has been stockpiling for use in the event of a human pandemic of the avian flu. But at this dose and current supply, this vaccine could only protect about 4 million people. So we're going to start this hour by talking about this vaccine study with the principal investigator. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. John Traynor is the director of the Vaccine and Treatment Evaluation Unit and professor of medicine and of microbiology and immunology at the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry in Rochester, New York. He joins us from WXXI in Rochester. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Ira.
Nice to have you back, Dr. Traynor. Did I basically summarize the study well, or did I make any mistakes?
I think you did. I think that's exactly what we saw is about half, a little bit more than half, of the subjects who received the highest dose of the vaccine reached the target that we set ahead of time as an indication of success.
Why is that considered a success?
Well, that's a great question, because when you talk about this study and the results, you really do have to do it in the context of a great deal of uncertainty about how much antibody is going to be needed in someone's body to protect them against bird flu. So we had to decide before the study started what we were going to use as the target, and that's an educated guess based on knowing a lot of things about regular flu viruses and a little bit about what happened in 1997 when there was a similar kind of flu outbreak in Hong Kong, and sort of extrapolating from that to a guess about the amount of antibody we're shooting for. And the reason I mention this is because although we had slightly over half the subjects get to that amount of antibody, a much larger number of people developed at least some antibody. About 70% of the subjects at the highest dose had detectable antibody, and they might very well be protected as well. So it's there's a lot of uncertainty about some of the elements of these studies.
And so what is the point then of this study in the context?
Well, remember that we need to be prepared for a pandemic if it occurs. And one of the things we will want to do is to be ready to go with a vaccine. Now, it's probably safe to say that the H5 type of virus, which is the one that's causing disease in chickens and which there have been occasional transmission to people, is the one that we're the most concerned about. But there are many varieties of H5, many strains or clades, and we suspect that the vaccine that we evaluated wouldn't necessarily be the exact match to whichever variant of H5 emerges as the cause of a pandemic, should that ever occur. So really doing a prototype here, we're trying to find out things like how hard is it to make the vaccine? What do manufacturers need to be aware of as they try and specifically make an H5 vaccine? What are the tricks to getting that process done? And then what dose should we need an H5 vaccine in the future would we need? And what kind of responses can we expect? We're trying to generate information here that would inform people when it becomes time to actually make a vaccine in the face of a pandemic.
So so then the take-home lesson from this is that if you're going to use this vaccine, you have to make twice the amount of it that you might.
Right. So there's three things that you mentioned that are related to each other. One of them is that we need to give two shots. That is because when it comes to H5, your immune system is a blank slate, never been exposed before. So we need to give a priming dose and then a boosting dose in the same way that we use flu shots in very small children. If you have little ones at home who are getting flu shots, which are recommended for kids between the ages of 6 months and now 5 years, those kids, if they've never been vaccinated before, get two shots, and that's for that same reason. They need to be primed and then boosted. Now, an adult only needs one because you've had flu before, but when it comes to age 5, you've never been exposed, and we have to go back to that two-shot system. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Now, the other is, what's the dose, the amount of material contained in each shot? And it looks like for the H5 viruses, we'll need to give a much larger amount per shot than we use for a regular flu shot. And it's not clear why that is exactly, but it's been very conclusively shown now. I don't think there's any question about what these results are saying. For a flu shot made the same way we make regular flu shots, but containing that H5, the amount of antigen that would be required will be much larger than we use for regular flu shots. And the meaning of that is we need to work hard to find ways to use less by manipulating the vaccine and making a sort of second-generation vaccines that don't need as much antigen. And then the third message, which we talked about a little bit, is that it would be very valuable if we could learn more about the immune response to H5 in people who have had that disease to get better ideas about what we're really aiming for with a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. So if you can only make 4 million doses, as I mentioned, does that mean that you now have to parcel out where those, if the flu should break out, where those doses would be sent and who would get them?
Yes, that is not something that I am directly involved in, but the stockpile is targeted for specific use in the unlikely event that we suddenly were confronted with a pandemic. The idea would be to have this stockpile, which might not be a perfect vaccine for the virus that causes a pandemic, but which would be close, ready to go to immunize certain groups. Well, at the same time, there would be a rush effort to make more of a vaccine that would be an exact match with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So until the pandemic comes out, you really cannot make a one-to-one vaccine.
That's right.
Until you know what it is. So this would be sort of a stopgap or the next best thing that you could do.
Yes, that is the idea of the small stockpile, is that it is a stopgap measure for emergency use in certain high-priority groups. Well, at the same time, we would have gone through the process once, we would have smoothed the way, and we would be ready to make the exact match vaccine much more quickly than we would be if we had never gone down this road.
Mm-hmm. Why not just go now and make more of this than the 4 million that we think we can stockpile?
Well, the reality is that there are very limited numbers of flu vaccine factories. And in this country, there's actually only one production facility. And that facility has to make the regular flu vaccine as well, and it can't make them both at the same time. So you have to prioritize between whether you want to stockpile the bird flu vaccine or whether you want to have supplies of regular flu vaccine. And that decision sort of comes out to trying to focus on making the regular flu vaccine. And then once that's made, use the factory to make the bird flu vaccine.
So you couldn't make enough and then maybe put it together with the regular flu vaccine in the same shot?
No, actually.
You don't want to do that.
We don't necessarily want to do that, but it is something that there's been some serious consideration towards. Remember that no matter whether we come up with a way to use lower doses, let's say by adding adjuvants, which is an active area of investigation right now, it's still almost certainly going to be a two-shot routine. And a emergency two-shot schedule where you're trying to immunize mass numbers of people, but you also have to keep track of who's already gotten a dose and who needs another one, is going to be very difficult. So there's been a lot of discussion about under what circumstances would we do that before a pandemic, or would it be worth trying to pre-immunize with at least one dose so that only a single additional dose would be necessary, and things like that. That has to be balanced against your estimate of what the real likelihood is that there would be a pandemic and, you know, that sort of risk-to-benefit ratio. And those discussions continue to be held, as we go through this process.
There was a story this week by Chinese scientists who used horse antibodies to actually cure flu in laboratory animals. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I actually haven't read the paper. If I'm understanding this correctly, this is a form of therapy called passive immunotherapy where you administer an antibody against the germ in an attempt to stop the disease or prevent it. And, you know, it's funny because we just recently saw them finish the Iditarod. And as you know, the Iditarod commemorates the delivery of horse serum against diphtheria to a small town in Alaska many, many years ago. So it's basically the same concept.
And wouldn't that be an interesting way to go? So then you could treat it after it broke out.
Right. I mean, it is an option. There are other treatments, obviously, the antiviral drugs. And a horse serum thing has the same issues related to how much can you make and, right. You know, is it exactly the right kind or would it be effective against a variant strain and all those issues. But it's an interesting thing to do.
So where does this this vaccine test go from here? Do you go to the next stage of testing? Or?
Yes. So the next stage is to focus on ways to get the same or maybe even better antibody responses, but use a lower dose so we'd have a bigger supply. And the main way to do that is to add things to the vaccine to boost the immune response. And those are these chemicals that come under the broad heading of adjuvants, things that are added to make a vaccine work better. And the one that we're testing first is called alum, which is a sort of generic name for all sorts of different aluminum salts like aluminum hydroxide, aluminum phosphate. Alum is an adjuvant that we already add to a lot of vaccines in routine use, like tetanus shots. And so we're going to test it with this.
Well, wait to see the results and invite you back.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Trainer, for joining us.
All right. Talk to you later.
John Trainer is director of the Vaccine and Treatment Evaluation Unit, professor of medicine and microbiology, professor of School of Medicine and Dentistry at Rochester. Stay with us. We'll be right back and talk about sleep and your children. Your teenagers don't go away. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.